Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we're able to gather here on this Lord's Day. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would have your way in our hearts. Draw us closer to you, that as we leave this place, we might draw closer to our brothers and sisters. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's join together as we stand and sing, There's Within My Heart a Melody. There's within my heart a faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join with us as we unite hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
May be seated. As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God? Need to remember John. He's been going through the mill this month. Last month, keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Remember Jessica's sister Tabitha. Keep her in your prayers. Arlene, yes. Also, Jim Cry, his grandson, had a skiing accident, had some injuries from that. They would appreciate your prayers. Also, got word yesterday that Dan has the flu. Got word this morning that our daughter and her husband and their son in San Antonio, all three went to the hospital, and all three were told they had the flu. Shirley, okay. Shirley Payne is also in the hospital. Pardon? Eugene is at the bridge. Okay, thank you. Got a lot of people going through a lot of illness. And I'm sure that by bedtime tonight, there'll be a lot of other people feeling ill. Won't go into detail on that. We've got some Cheetos and some Diet Root Beer at home, but I'm not going to waste them in a football game. With all due respect to the NFL, which at this point isn't a whole lot. Okay, any other prayer requests? As music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, the song says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew." Each one of us needs a new touch, a new infilling and indwelling of your Holy Spirit. We pray today that you'd be with each one who's here. May they feel your presence, your power, your peace, your joy. Be with those who aren't able to be here today, Lord. We just pray that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts. May they feel your healing touch. So many of our folk are down, are needing the healing touch of the great physician. We just pray today that you'd be with each one of them. Be with family and friends who are away. Watch over them, Lord, and keep them safe. We pray that you would be with our troops today, Lord, as they're scattered around the world in uncertain times. Be with their families. Comfort and lift them up. We pray today that you'd be with all of our leaders, local leaders, state leaders, national leaders, world leaders. Oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh and new on each one of them. Lord, so often we get our eyes fixed on everything but where they ought to be fixed. Help them, Lord, that they might realize the task that they have before them. Help them that they might see the things that they can do to help build your kingdom here, now. Help us, Lord, that we might be and do all that you would have us to be and do. We need your touch, Lord. We need your presence. We need renewal and revival in our midst. draws closer to you now. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us. Forgive us for those times when we're not thankful. We pray now that you should bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Today's scripture is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life, so that when Christ returns, I will be proud that I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. But even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, That is, if I'm to die for you, I will rejoice, and I want to share my joy with all of you. And you should be happy about this and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as we're gathered here for worship and preparing our hearts to come to the Lord's table, we need to realize that Jesus commanded each one of us to let our lights shine so he would get glory and praise. Years ago, in many communities, there were people whose job it was to bring light to the darkness. They were known as lamp lighters. Each evening, the lamp lighters would go through the town, usually with a wick on a long pole, sort of like a acolyte with a pole that was on steroids. They would go through the community and they would light all of the street lights. At dawn, they would return to put them out, usually using a small hook on the same pole. Early street lights were generally candles or oil or similar consumable liquid or solid lighting sources with wicks. Another lamplighter duty was to carry a ladder and renew the candles, the oil, or the glass mantles. Sometimes the lamplighters also served as the town watchman. Do you remember back in the 1960s, there was a top 10 song by the Browns? It said, "He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go, the old lamplighter of long, long ago. You'd hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, He loves someone who loves him too, who walks with him alone in memory. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go, the old lamplighter of long, long ago. Now, if I were going to subtitle this sermon, it's entitled Lamplighters 2018, there are several options. I thought, Jesus still wants me for a sunbeam. You remember that song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Then there's another one that was written by Dallas Holm entitled Let My Light Shine. He said, I was walking along in the darkness. I didn't know which way to go. Then the Lord, he turned the light on. He changed my life and saved my soul. Now I'll live for just one purpose, to let the Lord shine through me. Because if his light can shine on others, then his spirit will set them free. Let my light shine in the nighttime. Let it shine all day through. Let it shine, shine for Jesus. May it shine, shine on you. Many of you know the name of Ed McMahon. Originally, he was best known as being Johnny Carson's sidekick. But more recently, he hosted a program entitled Star Search. It was a program for aspiring actors and singers and performers to be before a live audience, hoping that they could become stars. It was a forerunner of American Idol. In Philippians 2, Paul tells us that we can become stars. It has nothing to do with our ability to sing or perform music or acting skills, but it has everything to do with how we live. According to verse 15, God wants us to be lights in the world, or as some translations put it, stars in the universe. In Matthew 5, Jesus reminds us to let our lights so shine. How do we do this? How can we let our lights shine in a dark, dark world? First one, conquer complaining. Verse 14a, in everything you do, stay away from complaining. Boy, couldn't we beat the world over the head with that one nowadays. Phew. I mean to tell you, complaining about what kind of shoes the first lady's wearing, complaining about wanting the president to stand back on the scales again. Come on, folks. All of us have negative moments. There's no doubt about that. One commentator said, I've been around Christians long enough to know that telling us not to complain is sort of like telling us not to breathe. You remember, I've shared with you that Mark Twain said, having been around a lot of church folks, I can understand why Jesus preferred to eat with sinners. It's funny, but it's a shame. A number of years ago, I heard a story about a monk who joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. The stipulation was that every 5 years, he was allowed to say two words. At the end of the first 5 years, his superior called him in and gave him permission to speak two words. The monk said, "Bad food." 5 years later, the superior called him in. He said, "Hard bed." 5 years later, he was in there again. He was given permission to speak two words, and he says, "I quit." Supervisor says, "You might as well quit. You've been here 15 years, and all you've done is complain." It would be lowering the Bible bar a little bit. But I could go along with that. Okay, if you've got complaints, every 5 years, two words. Wouldn't that be great? Oh my, what a change that would be in so many of our churches. A recent medical survey found that chronic complainers live longer than people who are always agreeable. It claimed that their cantankerous spirit gives them a purpose for living. Each morning they get up with a fresh challenge to see how many things they can find to gripe about. And they get great satisfaction from making everyone else miserable. Now, there is some question as to whether those who are always complaining actually do live longer, or if it just seems that way. Folks, do you realize how often the thing that Jesus had to deal with the most was attitudes? The problem isn't in the church isn't that one of the bathrooms was painted the wrong color. It's that somebody decided to let that be their cause and they were going to march because they didn't get a choice in the matter, or because the wrong color carpeting in the sanctuary, or because they don't like the preacher. Get more original, folks. A lot of people don't like the preacher. So often we get so negative, we think we've got it so bad nowadays. Do you realize that our ancestors, including yours, did without sugar until the 13th century? Did without coal fires until the 14th century? Did without battered bread until the 15th century? Did without taters until the 16th century? Did without coffee, tea, or soup until the 17th century? Did without pudding until the 18th century? Did without matches or electricity until the 19th century? Do you realize that peanut butter was never officially patented until 1884? How in the world? Do you realize they did without canned goods, indoor plumbing, and TV until the 20th century? Now, what was it that we were griping about? If all the people know about church is that members constantly argue, complain, and gossip, they get a false impression of Christ and the good news. Belief in Christ should unite us. Our theme song should be, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity." We're commanded to do all things without grumbling or complaining. How can we do that? Well, first of all, recognize that complaining is a sin. It was one of the sins that kept the Israelites out of the Promised Land. It's a type of rebellion against God. It's questioning God's wisdom, doubting God's care. 1 Corinthians 10:10, "And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them." B, acknowledge that complaining is a problem. Last week, Wayne played, "It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." So often we mention somebody needs to be praying and automatically we go like this. No. The biggest problem that you have in the church is that person looking back at you from the mirror. See, know that God uses difficulties to change us. We don't always change when we see the light, but we usually do when we start feeling the heat. We tend to grumble when things get difficult, but we should recognize that God will use difficulties in life to mature us. James chapter 1. "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. And D, we can work on our attitudes. Now, you think Jesus didn't have a problem with attitudes? Listen to what he says. People that had an attitude problem, he was talking to them. These were people that had been in the church for 135 years. These were people whose grandma had donated the piano. These were people who had given more money than you'd believe to the church. These were people that held high offices in the church. Jesus said to them, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good words from a good heart, and an evil person produces evil words from an evil heart. I tell you this, that you must give an account on judgment day in every idle word you speak. The words you say now reflect your fate then. Either you will be justified by them, or you will be condemned." Okay, number two, avoid arguing. Verse 14b says, stay away from arguing. Arguing implies a questioning and doubting mind. You heard about the woman who spent 25 years looking for Mr. Right. She finally found him and married him. And after they were married, she discovered his first name was Always. I think I've had him in several of my churches. Or her. Okay. Arguing suggests an arrogant attitude by those who assume that they are always right. Arguing with others in the body of Christ is disruptive. That's why Paul spent that entire second chapter on humility. A wise theologian once said, "To dwell above with saints we love, that'll be grace and glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story." Why avoid arguing? Verse 15 reminds us, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Christians usually relate to this world in which we live in four different ways, one of four ways. First of all, total separation. This is like someone who lives in a monastery. There's no contact. Secondly, total immersion. There's lots of contact, but very little impact. Three, there's split adaptation, which is sort of like fence straddling. Chameleons that can change color wherever they are. Or a lot of times the world refers to them as hypocrites. And then fourthly, there's transformation. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are in the world, but we don't let the world get in us with God's help. Verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's possible to conquer complaining and avoid arguing so that we may be blameless, innocent, and above reproach. In his book, The Total Man, Dan Benson tells of experts who studied tape-recorded conversations from a large number of homes over a period of time. They found 10 negative comments for every positive one. And that study only took into consideration the actual words, what was said, not how it was said, or looks that were given, or the nonverbal communications that took place. If someone recorded your conversations for a week, how would the distribution be between positive and negative? And number three, discover rejoicing. We're going to talk about this some more next week. The sermon title next week is, "And God Laughed." Bet you didn't know God could do that, did you? We'll talk about that next week. Discover rejoicing. Paul talks about a drink offering poured out completely as a part of the ritual sacrifice. It pictures a complete and total consecration. Notice Paul's response to suffering. He was writing from a prison cell, yet he refused to let circumstances dictate his attitude. Joy and rejoicing are all through his letter. Even if he died, Paul said he was content, knowing that he'd helped the Philippians live for Christ. When we're totally committed to serving Christ, sacrificing to build the faith of others brings joy. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He also said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's a story about two buckets. One was an optimist and one was a pessimist. They were talking together one day. One of them said, I am so disappointed. Life is so disappointing. Said, every day I come away from the well full, but when I go back, I'm empty. The optimistic bucket said, I'm happy. I come to the well empty, but I leave full. How can we have the power to do this in our lives? Verse 16 tells us to focus on the Word. Memorize verses that deal with our problem areas. If we struggle with complaining, learn Philippians 2:14. When you begin to complain, the Holy Spirit will use that verse to help us. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. Our world is so negative today that a positive person shines like a bright star on a dark night. Complaining Christians and disrupting churches, disputing churches are poor witnesses. Rejoicing Christians and joyful churches are powerful witnesses. Jesus said they're like a city that's on a hill that cannot be hid. Our church should be a lighthouse on the hill for Rockwood and for Roane County and for the whole world. There are two kinds of Christians, basically. Those who whine and those who shine. If we're going to let our lives shine, we have to conquer complaining and avoid arguing and regain rejoicing. Lord, as we leave this place, remind us of the words of that song that says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, remind us that we are all called to let our lights shine, to be lamplighters to the world. As the light of God shines through all we think and say and do, may it serve to draw others into your presence. And we'll give you the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I invite you to join with me now as we join in the prayer of confession and pardon. First, the invitation. Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now let's join together in a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. We are reminded that on the night which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would those who are going to assist with the serving please come forward?